time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague John Hardy of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, Eyes on the Ukraine conflict. We have good news. Ukraine signs a deal to obtain 100 French-made Rafael warplanes over the next 10 years. This is a solid commitment from France and Ukraine for what appears to be the network of Ukrainian defense forces over many years ahead, not looking for Ukraine to end its contest anytime soon or to arm up in the event that Russia prevails in the east of Ukraine so that it has important resources as it did not when this war broke out. I welcome John Hardy to comment on this good news and at the same time note that there is a report in Poland by Donald Tusk, the prime minister. The headline is "All We Have." Poland blames sabotage for blast on major railway line. Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk stopped short of linking Moscow to explosion. There's a photograph of men standing around a major rail line with an explosion that was caused by a contact explosive. It was meant to destroy the railway. These two reports from Europe, from different parts of Europe, are both threatening and at the same time sustaining because neither Poland nor France have written Ukraine off as a loss. John, a very good evening to you. The French news is welcome. The Polish news is alarming. But I come immediately to the question of the battlefield. It would appear that Pokrovsk remains a hinge point for the whole region that Russia's been assaulting for about a year. A week ago, there was a claim by Moscow that its soldiers had entered Pokrovsk or the center of the city in some fashion. And there was a video accompanying in a fog of various types of vehicles, most of them without armor, rolling down a highway. What is our understanding of Pokrovsk? What's going on there right now after a year's siege? Good evening to you, John.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me back on the show. Good to be with you. I saw the news of the French warplane sale to Ukraine. It seems like the two leaders signed a letter of intent for 100 fighter jets, along with some SAMP-T air defense systems, air defense radars, and some munitions, along with co-production of interceptor drones and some other equipment. I think it's certainly, regarding the warplanes, it's certainly encouraging that, you know, the French are looking to partner with the Ukrainians. I am a bit worried now that Ukraine is kind of diversifying its future fleet a bit too much. This new letter of intent comes on the heels of a similar kind of tentative agreement to buy a large number of Gripen fighters. Of course, Ukraine already operates the F-16. It's supposed to get more in the Mirage as well, alongside its Soviet legacy warplanes. So, you know, this kind of just raises the issue of, you know, being, you can be too diversified and kind of have a petting zoo of equipment, which can, you know, make it difficult for sustainment, you know, maintenance, and just kind of add a burden onto the future Ukrainian Air Force. I would like to see them kind of consolidate around one or two platforms rather than kind of going in all these different directions. And I think that I'm not even sure that, you know, that these rather ambitious targets will be met in the first place. But we'll see.
And the Polish news, the prime minister in Poland seems to be unsurprised by this. Are you unsurprised, John, that there's sabotage in Poland?
Yeah, I don't want to get too far ahead of the Polish investigation. The authorities there did indicate they think sabotage was involved. If it was the Russians, which I assume it probably was, it would fit with kind of Russia's track record over the last few years of kind of conducting these sabotage and other covert operations in Poland and various other European countries, including targeting infrastructure or kind of facilities or even individuals in some cases linked to aid for Ukraine. And the rail line in question is involved in supply of equipment and munitions to Ukraine through Poland. So that could have been the motive here, is to kind of disrupt that.
And to Pokrovsk, the battlefield. I reported last week it looked like the Russians were moving in, but now there's news that they haven't moved in. Do we have any clarity?
Yeah, it seems that the Russians have continued to try to infiltrate forces into the city. It's not exactly clear how much they control. And I think in the city right now, as with much of the front, Russian and Ukrainian positions are kind of interspersed and co-located. So, just because you see a Russian soldier in a certain area doesn't mean that the Russians have firm control over that area. As we've covered in some of the previous week's podcasts, Ukraine has kind of reinforced its position there, including with some elite units, to try to hold on to the city as long as possible. I do think that the Ukrainians are running a kind of a bit of a risk here, with not so much Pokrovsk, but the nearby city of Mirnohrad and kind of its environs. Probably some hundreds of troops there, based on assessments and reports I've seen from the ground. And so, if Pokrovsk does fall, those troops in Mirnohrad and around it could be encircled and destroyed. So, that's kind of risky. It's kind of fits a pattern throughout the war where Ukraine has fought some successful battles, like Bakhmut, for example, where the attrition ratio generally was favorable to Ukraine, but over time, as the Russians kind of moved to encircle town or city and complicated logistics, as they've done in the Pokrovsk area, that attrition ratio becomes less favorable and you run the risk of encirclement. So I hope that Ukrainian forces will prioritize force preservation rather than kind of the politically motivated desire to not give the Russians a win. I think Zelensky has an eye on Washington and doesn't want to have that headline be seen by Trump and others, that Ukraine loses Pokrovsk, whereas in reality the loss of this city, which Russia's been trying to take for almost a year now, would not be that grave of a loss to Ukraine. It would carry some operational implications. Russia would be able to put FPV drone pilots in the city, kind of use its high-rise buildings to push the Ukrainians back near it. Would facilitate maybe a Russian advance to, northward to try to kind of aid their goal of taking the rest of the Donbass. But really, I think the Russians will still have a really hard time achieving that goal. And I think Ukraine would still be in a good position to maintain the defense there. But if you lose all our troops encircled or destroyed in that pocket, that could have an effect on morale and leave you with even more depleted force to kind of reset your defensive line.
The Russian forces, the claim was that they were rolling into Pokrovsk. I was noting as I was watching it, hey, there's a lot of fog here. Is that a factor with those drones? Does it blind the drone warfare when the weather turns so damp and cold that there's fog on the ground?
Yeah, that's absolutely a factor. And the Russians often will time their assaults during poor weather, rain, fog, etc., which can impede Ukrainian aerial reconnaissance and FPV drone crews, bombers, etc. On the flip side is that poor weather can also give some reprieve to the Ukrainian defenders, allowing them to rotate positions or kind of evacuate casualties or supply troops, what have you. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but I think in general it does kind of this time of year where you have poor weather frequently is a boon to the Russians. That said, over the winter, I think it'll become a bit tougher for the Russians, not least because you have now foliage pretty much all gone from trees. So that provides less concealment and cover from Ukrainian aerial reconnaissance and drones.
John Hardy for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy reporting on Ukraine contest. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.